Today I'd like to talk to you about one of my favorite athletes of all time, personal favorites, Daryl Strawberry. Maybe part of it was I'm about 6 months older than him, and so following his career, he's always intrigued me, and being the same age and that time of your life, you're watching somebody and they seem to be doing well, and so you want to emulate them, watch him as an outfielder, right fielder, all of those things, just him being exceptional at what he did, and having his ball glove, his Rawlings ball glove, all of those things just add up for something very, very special. And he was drafted, went to the league for the New York Mets. His MLB debut was May 6th, 1983. He finished his Major League Baseball career with the Yankees in October of 1999. Eight-time All-Star, four-time World Series champion, National League Rookie of the Year, two-time Silver Slugger Award, National League home run leader in 1988, and a member of the New York Mets Hall of Fame. So much memory-wise comes to mind as I think of him. His time in the majors with the Mets, and then the Dodgers, and then the Giants, and then the Yankees. His high kick as he batted, the way he would hit a home run, the way he would field, all of those things just bring back great memories for me. But I think as I watched his personal life explode and decisions that he made that were not good decisions, heartbreaking decisions, it saddened me as I watched it. And I didn't know a lot of what was going on. You hear what you hear in the media. You see the taunts of Daryl, when he was playing with the Yankees, and the crowd just mocking him and having to go and still perform and do well. Brutal. And then having opportunity recently to read his biography, Straw, Finding My Way, published in 2009, and seeing the roller coaster that much of it was of his own doing, but that still doesn't stop you from having compassion for him and wanting the best for him, and failing with his family, failing in his marriages, failing when it came to drugs. And near the end of his biography, he writes on finally surrendering to God. And I look in the scriptures and I see in Mark chapter 8, verse 36. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit or lose his soul? That's what comes to mind as I think of him. And finally, him coming to the end of himself and now having opportunity to minister to other people, him and his wife, Tracy. But I want to read to you this section from his biography where he talks about surrender, and see if any of you could relate to what he's saying. Maybe not on the same scale, but where you're at. He says, I surrender to God. Surrender means doing a lot of things you don't want to and not doing a lot of things your desires tell you to. It means standing up to your daily responsibilities, even when you're feeling so depressed you can barely drag yourself out of bed. And it means avoiding the people and places and habits that led you astray, no matter how badly you think you want that drink or whatever it is. It means, I'm listening, Lord, I hear you, and I choose not to do those things anymore. I swore off all liquor, all drugs, and all sex. I'm not sure which one of those was the hardest. None of it was easy. I wasn't used to going very many days without wanting a drink, drugs, or sex. I'd gotten so used to thinking I needed all those things, needed them to fill the empty places inside me. We live in such a materialistic world. We think we need all these things around us to make us happy. The cars, the flat screen TVs, the clothes, the bling, the drugs and alcohol. But now, when I put together 6 whole months of complete abstinence, I found that I didn't need any of them. When you strip away all that away, you never miss it. There was no joy in it. God had to take it all away for me to realize that. I had to teach myself how to pray again. Loving God and living dirty don't mix. I had to relearn how to get on my knees and humble myself before God, ask His help. I pleaded with Him on my knees on the floor. God, please help me to do the right thing today. Please help me not to hurt anybody today. Please give me the strength to do it right. Take anything you want from me. I don't care about the money and fame and parties and success and women. I don't care about anything anymore except my kids and my loved ones and being the best person I can be for them. Of course, God was right there and ready to hear me. Like I said, God has a lot of patience with us. He was there waiting for me while I went through all my wicked ways, knowing that the suffering I was causing myself with all that bad behavior would eventually be so severe that I'd turn away from it and come back to Him. God began to heal me, and He gave me the strength to face up to all the wicked things I'd done. I emerged from the fog of pain and confusion I'd been living in for so long, away from everything and everyone. I was able, for the first time, to examine all the choices I had made and the terrible consequences of them. The realization of how much pain and misery and destruction I'd caused the people who loved me fell on me like a ton of anvils. I had to look at it all and say, I have no excuses anymore. My father is no excuse. My childhood is no excuse. My self-loathing is no excuse. None of that makes what I did okay. It's not okay. I was responsible for my actions. The people I hurt are real. It was very hard, but I got over my bitterness and anger toward my father, my wives, the press, all the people I had blamed for my own bad behavior. I forced myself to step up like a man and accept responsibility for everything I'd done. I like to say that God finally revealed the truth to me in a blinding flash of light, but it doesn't usually work that way. I didn't have a dramatic flash of revelation. It was more gradual. I just surrendered. All those years I had been struggling, hating myself and wondering why on earth God chose me. I had raged through my life like a hurricane, and now by sitting quietly, studying, praying, purifying myself, I let the hurricane blow itself out. I finally found myself and God. This time when God called, I didn't run away and hide. I answered. I changed a lot. Everyone around me could see it. I walked differently, talked differently, thought differently. There'd always been a good, kind, peaceful, loving man inside me. I had just never accepted him. Now I did. And this is when I was finally, truly born again. That was in 2006. I have not gone back to any of my old ways since then. I'm a different person today. I don't make any claims, promises, or predictions about what kind of person I'll be tomorrow. If there's one thing I've learned from surviving cancer twice and surviving all the turmoil I brought into my life, is that you live today. You're not living in yesterday or tomorrow. Today is all you've got, and how you live today is all that matters. So where are you at today as you're listening to this podcast? Where's your heart? Where's your mind? Where's your values? Your life. I want to invite you by faith to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to acknowledge that you're a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. To realize what your sin and my sin does. It says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Romans 10:9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved.